week. He provided for you another week. He was there for you another week. Now look, there's worse things than a preacher could be doing besides dedicating babies. I am so glad to be able to do that this morning because you know what, man? Children are a sign of the blessing of God. Amen. Children are a blessing. Now, when you get about three or four of them, you're sitting there and you're thinking, now, God, are you sure? I mean, I know you said to call them a blessing, but I wanted to call them something else. They're really giving me a hard time. And I get it because I've got two little ankle biters myself, and momming sometimes and being daddy sometimes, it's hard work. But you know what? God, Holly, knew exactly what type of little girl to give you. He knew the personality that you needed. Caleb, he knew exactly. He knows. God knows. God knows what he's doing. God knows the type of kid to give you. God knows. And hey, for everybody with a strong-willed child, I want to tell you that God will do something with that strong-willed child. You got to hang in there. You got to trust God. You know what? My mama, she has been with me through thick and thin. She would defend me if I was caught in the very act. She would and she has. But you know what? This is a blessed day. We are going to have an awesome day. Now, just so I know where we're all at, raise your hand if you're dedicating your child this morning or your children. I want to see what we're doing, what we're dealing with. Okay, awesome. I'm excited about it. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. We're going to look at verses 1, or we're going to be in chapter 1 and verse 10. Now, I want to say today that a lot of people, they don't know what child dedication is. I'm not the type of preacher, Aunt Sharon, that's going to preach about something and get you off track. But you know what? I'm not going to assume that people know what something is. Because what I've learned, Sister Cindy, is a lot of people, you may think that they all know, but they may not. And so today, I'm going to go into what exactly is child dedication. Most people think that it's more about the child than it is the parent. I'm here to tell you it's more about you, parent, than it is that child. Because, see, you're the one that has the decision to be made. You're the one that says, hey, I'm going to raise this child in God's house. I'm going to be the example that I should be. I'm going to be in the family like I should. Now, I'm going to encourage each and every single one of you, don't sit under God's word for 20 years and go blow up your family. Yeah. Now, look, if it happens in this church, I'll teach on it. I'll preach on it. If it's happening out in the world, Sister Patty, I'm going to preach about it because you know what? My hands, they're going to be clean on Judgment Day. I'm telling each and every person right here and right now, if you're married, you keep those wedding vows to yourself, to your partner. Don't go out and blow up your family. I'm begging you not to do that. You know what? I've experienced that in my own family, and I'm begging you not to do that to your children. I'm begging you not to do it to your family, to everybody that loves you. Now look, everybody's looking at me like I got three eyes, but you know what? Let me tell you something. If it's happening, I'll preach about it. You know why, Ashley? Because the devil will talk you into things, and he'll be there. Oh, yeah, that looks really good. That's a temptation. Oh, yeah. And then he'll condemn you right after you do it. That's the devil that's living out in this world. But you have a God that even if you go out and you do that thing, Diana, he's still saying, now look, I still love you. Don't you turn your back on me just because you messed up. If you've messed up in here, get over yourself. Stop giving that as an excuse for you not to come to God's house. You get it right. You give him your problems. You give him yourself. He wants you just like you are. You don't got to come up in here looking all pretty and everything. I mean, it's a positive, but I mean, I'm not even talking about the outside appearance, folks. I'm talking, if you're ugly on the inside, I still want you coming up in here because this is where you need to be. Amen. God's got big plans for each and every single one of you. But I will not dance around any problem. I will not dance around sin. Stephanie, even if it happens in my own family, I will not. The day I do, God does not need me. He needs me to move over and let somebody else that has a big enough gumption to say it. Now look, I'm the type of preacher, I'll say it, Diana, even if it makes you cringe. I'll say it. Donnie, if it snatches that soul out of hell, it was worth it. So what we're looking at is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. And we're talking about Hannah. Now, most people are going to stay in 1 Samuel, but I'm not going to because, hey, there's a lot of things about parenting that needs to be discussed. I mean, you know, but if we're going to start here, and verse 10 says, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord." Now, every woman up in here, now some of these women are just, they're a little bit more fertile than others. I mean, let's face that. But if you ever had a problem having a baby, I want you to raise your hand. Let's see what we're working with. Anybody ever have a problem conceiving a child and it bothered you? I have. I took fertility medicine with both of my children. I was messed up emotionally. I know what it's like to sit there and say, "God, give me a baby," and it just doesn't happen for a long time. I know how that is. So here's Hannah, and she's got that bitterness of soul, but what does she do? She's crying out to God. That's one thing that you see. See, you can have that bitterness of soul when it comes to life issues, but you know what? Don't get mad at God. Don't walk out on God. Call out to God. Tell Him about it. Talk to God. We live in a generation, people, sis, they don't know how to talk to each other. Why? Because they always on their phone. I mean, let's keep it real. They always on their phone, Holly. I go to lunch, Sister Patty, Brother DJ. Everybody at the table, in most tables and most restaurants that you're at, what you're going to see? They're supposed to be having a family dinner. What are they doing? They're all sitting there on their phone. Even the 10-year-olds. I mean, no wonder nobody knows how to talk to each other anymore. I'm telling you to talk to God. You got a problem in your life? Talk to God about it. So we have Hannah, and it says, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord, and she made a vow." If you don't hear anything else today, you too, and you too, you hear Pastor Kelly. What you're doing today, you're making a vow. You're making a covenant with God Almighty and Diana and Van. Sorry, I didn't want to leave you out. I'm coming right back here. Y'all's making a covenant. It's a vow. People break vows all the time. They turn their back on what they said they would do. Look here. This ain't the vow to break. It's one of the most serious things, as far as your child is concerned, that you will ever do. Holly, it's one we don't want to break. Why? Because their life is depending on it. Their happiness, their joy, their wholeness is dependent on us keeping that vow. See, you ever seen a broken-hearted child? I have. I've packed their room up. I've cried over that. Amen. The world is full of people, they won't even keep vows to their own children. Their kids aren't even enough, Michelle, to get them to act right. See, we all like to, let's really break it down and let's really be honest. We live in a world where, you know what, everybody likes to say, "Oh, my kids are enough for me to do such and such." When really the truth is, most times the kids aren't enough to get you to doing whatever. The problem ain't with the kids. The problem is with you. Now, I know that's some hard stuff to swallow. But I told you at the beginning of this, I wasn't going to dance around things and I don't intend to. One, because I don't have any rhythm. I don't dance around things well because you know what? I can't even clap on beat when these girls are up there and I ain't going to dance around anything else. Huh. Let me tell you. All right. But it says, "And she made a vow saying, 'Oh Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery.'" Look here, I don't know if it's about a baby or if it's about some other life issues, but I'm telling you right now, if you want God to look down and to see the misery that you're living in, Diana, all you got to do is say, God, look down on me and see what I'm going through, because He's right there. But see, God ain't stepping in on people that don't want Him. God says, do you want me or do you not want me? See, it's a decision that has to be made. You choose this day what you're going to do. If you're going to live under the blessing or you're going to live under the curse. Because see, there's a decision has to be made. You ain't going to be lukewarm because He'll spit you out of His mouth. You make a decision what you're going to do. And many lives are hanging in the balance of your decision. You don't think the ministry ever thinks about doing a shenanigan? We sure do. You don't think we have temptations? Yes, we do. You know what, Gina? You know what I do? I look at my hands and I evaluate what is more important. You know what's more important? Judgment Day. My goal, Brother Mike, is to be able to stand before God and say, God, as far as I know, my hands are clean. Every parent in this room, that's what God's wanting out of you. Make no mistake. So look down on upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, and then I will give him to the Lord for all of his days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. You know what? There was a lot of things that when God finally gave me a baby, miss, I said, God, if you'll give me a child, God, I'll do this, this, and this. You know what, Stephanie? When I had that baby, I was a woman of my word. Why? Because I understood that God did something for me that He didn't have to do. And you know what? What I did was I gave that child back to Him. That's the only thing that you can do with your kids. When you're smart enough to realize that it was God Himself that gave those children to you, the best thing, the smartest thing, Carmela, that we can ever do is say, God, You gave them to me, and God, I give them back to You. I don't care if they're 4. I don't care if they're 34. You give that child to God. You know what it says? When they're older, they won't depart from it. There's a lot of parents out there and you're grieving over your older children. I'm telling you to stand in that gap. God's not going to fail you. God will never fail you. God will bring the backslider in. God will bring the child in that thought they were going to depart. He'll bring them right back in. Will He not? What do you got to do? You got to give something to God that He can bless. Psalms chapter 127. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. And sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. That's right. Which one of them's talking? Archer? Asher? I'm surprised I got that straight. You're right, buddy. Thank you for the amen. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, and children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. And blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate. You know what? If God's given you a child, God's given you the best blessing that you could ever have. Along with that blessing is great responsibility. You know what it is? Consistency. A lot of us parents, we got good ambitions. But see, I'm asking y'all to give something to God that He can bless. You know what that is? Consistency. What is consistency? Being what you promised today that you're going to be when you don't feel like it. When you don't feel like coming to church, when you feel like pulling a shenanigan, and you in your 30s, you in your 40s, you in your 50s, I'm asking you to not do that. God's asking you to not do it. You may be in here. You may be raising the next president. You may be raising a world-renowned surgeon. You may be raising the mayor. You may be raising whatever. And we got to stop, Brother Mike, and we got to say, you know what? Who in here gets very irritated with your children? Sometimes it's just overwhelming.
Even the
adults. Mostly the adult kids, I mean. You know, it's frustrating. But you know what? You ain't done being mom and daddy just because they grown.
That's right.
Amen. If anything, you got to roll your sleeves up at that point because they really can pull some shenanigans because they 21 or whatever they think in their little head. Look, I'm far from my 20s, but I remember that. Oh. Everybody around me has gray hair just from that. But it's about doing the things that you said you would do. We live in a world where people are breaking their promises. They're breaking their vows. They're breaking their word. God cannot bless that. He just can't. You know, people are under an illusion. And all they do, Brother Larry, is justify what they think that they're doing that God said that they could. You ain't going to read God's word and swap it around and make it say what you want it to say. At the end of the day, God's word is God's word and it stands alone. It doesn't need you twisting it. It doesn't need you doing whatever. It needs you being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Because the world is full of hearer onlys. God's looking for doers. Because you know what? God has a world full of blessing. And what does it say? He's looking about. He's looking about and he's searching the hearts of men. He's searching the hearts of women and he's saying, now who can I bless? See? Now what does it say that the devil is doing? He's looking around, seeing who he can devour. That's what he's doing. The devil will do that. He'll talk you into making a terrible life decision. You'll do that thing. You thought it was going to make you happy, but it only made you more miserable. And now you're so condemned, you feel like you can't do anything. That's the devil. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 and 14. And it says, "For you created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb." Now, if you've ever had a problem having a baby, when God does that for you, Kayla, it's the most heartwarming, touching thing because you realize that God just knit that baby right up in there. That He knew them before you knew them. That He knew them from day one. He knew what you would call them. He knew everything about them. He knew what calling He was going to give them. See, it starts in the womb. When I was pregnant with Carson, I used to stand up here with that big old belly, and I used to say, "God, help him to serve you all the days of his life. God, everybody else thinks they want to sow some wild oats, but God, I'm giving this kid back to you right now. God, don't let him sow wild oats. God, don't let him depart from you. God, don't let him screw up his life. God, don't let him be a broken down man. God, let him be a mighty man of God, because see, God, that's what we're going for." See, somebody needs to stop in here today, and they need to say, "God, what are we trying to raise? Are you burdened down with your responsibility as a parent? It gets hard." They get about 13, 14 years old and they get a mouth on them and you want to kill them. Look here, I want you to not kill them. I want you to stop, take a very deep breath, a few, and I want you to regroup. Because see, the devil wants to get people very worn down from their parenting responsibility, so we let these kids do willy-nilly things and ruin their life. And then we just have generations of ruined lives. God's wanting you to stop right here and say, "Now hold on, God, I'm getting discouraged, but God, what are we raising? God, what do you want to do with this child?" God will tell you. You know what God told me about my son? "Kelly, don't break his spirit. Mold it." He's got a loud mouth just like I do. world needs loudmouth folks. They can't all be loudmouth, but a few of them, you know. My mother didn't ever ask me to be somebody else, and I was a wild child. The deacon's all, oh, Lord, yes, she was. They used to call me the white tornado. There wasn't anything I wouldn't do in the church house, okay? But look here. God's got a plan. Line yourself up with the plan. Am I telling you you're not going to have a discouraged moment? Nope, because you will. You're going to have a moment where you're just saying, these kids aren't listening. I'm just going to let them do what I want, what they want to do. Better than arguing with them. No, no. You man up and you woman up and you say, now look here, little Johnny. That ain't going. I don't care if you're 21. I don't care if you're 41. You're going to come under the Word of God. Some of these older children, you can't tell them that to their face, but you can tell the living God that. God's helping you. God's helping you with those kids. But you know what, Kayla? What's better, to do it right now or to try to do it later? Right now. God's got a plan for him. He's got an awesome plan. What does the devil want to do? Get you discouraged. Get you feeling like life's always going to be this way. It's always going to be difficult. We're going to always, me and Mikey, have to talk about dirty diapers and who pooped and who didn't. That's a very small part of this. So don't get overwhelmed. Don't get discouraged, Holly. Caleb, don't get discouraged over these little things, because you'll look back and you'll think, my God, can they just be little again? They couldn't talk when they were little. They were easier to deal with. Am I right, Mom?
Right.
Right. I like her. For you created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb, and I praise you because... See, God's not going to ask you to do something without telling you why. The people that's dedicating your children today, you listen to me. I'm going to read this again here. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We live in a generation where people do not know who they are. Holly, Caleb, it's your job to help them to know who they are. Who are they? They were the person that was created in the image of God. You need to teach them, God, I praise you because. See, kids want to know why. All the time. Why, Diana? Because God made them. God knit them together. God cared enough to make sure that they came about. God protected them. Okay? For you created my inmost being and you knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. People don't know who they are anymore. They don't know that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. They just know they're depressed and they're sad and they're miserable. Who wants that for your kid? No. We want them happy and we want them whole. It's your job to teach them who they are in Jesus. You want them to have purpose? You train them in God's house. This isn't a religious thing. This is a Jesus thing. I'm not just some old school preacher that's saying, bring them to God's house. No. Man, I am old school, but I won't apologize for it. I'm the young buck that's sitting here saying, bring them to God's house. Because see, what God's going to do is he's going to put that hand on that child and he's going to bless them. Not only is he going to bless them, but he's going to fill them with purpose. Not only can he fill them with purpose, but he's going to protect them. There's people went to Walmart yesterday thinking they were going to get hot dogs and grill with their family, and they did not. There isn't a more important subject to talk about than your children's life. And your children's life doesn't start with their life. Your children's life starts with your life. You want to break your kids? You do some shenanigans in front of them several times and you'll break them. You'll hurt them. So we got to teach them, why are we doing this? Teach them how to praise God. Teach them how to love God. Teach them that, you know what? We ain't laying out of church just because we don't feel like coming. You think the pastors feel like coming all the time? Look here, I am not Jesus Christ. Cut me a break. Brother DJ's going now. I can relate to this. Look here. I ain't some phony person, I'll tell you. Sometimes I don't even feel like coming. Why? Because I've gotten in my own head. You don't think I have issues? You don't think that man back there has issues? We got issues. We one of you. We're just the people that God said, now lead these folks. That don't mean I don't want to grab somebody out. Look here, I was at the pool the other day, sister. You want to tick me off good, you do something to my kid and I'll probably take your head off. And thank God Jesus kept me from doing that. Because I about did it to a 10-year-old. This little kid... I was sitting there with Carson Paul, and he was getting in them swimming lessons because I paid for it 2 years in a row. I'd like to see him swim at least one time. And it's like 100 degrees out there, and I'm just melting. And I'm thinking, oh, this kid, every time Carson turns around, he splashes him in the face. Well, then we got to go through this whole thing of Carson's got to clean his face off. Then he's got to do the goggles, and it just goes on and on and on. And it's like, ugh. And I just about lost my religion over that kid doing that. And I thought, thank God I don't have a pastor shirt on right now because that would look terrible. Did not keep me from wanting to do it. I said, hey, you quit splashing my kid in the face. Then I looked at his mama. I said, I don't think that's very nice. Do you? They didn't show up. The next day. My point, your pastor is one of you. Don't put me on a pedestal. Don't put him on a pedestal. We don't belong there. You know who does? Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus belongs there. He belongs in your heart. Matthew 18, 1 through 9. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Children learn arrogance from their parents. They learn these bad things. They learn them from their parents. I'm asking you to be a godly example today, and I'm not backing down from that. Not only am I asking you to do it, God's asking you to do it. Why? Holly, because God really wants to do something with that baby. Amen. He really wants to get her and use her to change the world. Diana, that's what God wants to do. That's why it's important for us not to go by our feelings, because your feelings will get you in trouble every time. Feelings come and go. God is the one thing that remains. Let me skip down to verse 5, and it says, and whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believed in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. See, it's not good to not raise him in God's house. God's given you one of the most powerful things you can ever have, and that's a child. Because we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Not a robot, not the telephone that you won't put down, not Facebook. Not Twitter. See, God's wanting some excellence. God's saying, now look here. You want everything that you're wanting. I only hear from you when you're wanting something. Walk in excellence. Here's the way. Walk in it. It's easy to do when we feel all well. You're going to have less days where you feel like everything's hunky-dory than the other. It's those days that God's making you. You ever notice in the valley is when you hear and you can feel God more than ever? God's close to that person. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Many people will bring you here where it says, you know, train up a child, and we know all these things. You know what? Everybody in here has been in church at least one time. I'm going to hit on something that's very important. I want to tell every woman in here, that man is the head of your household. You need to not be trying to go over him. I'm a strong-willed woman with a big mouth. I'm married to one of the quietest people in the planet. But you know what, sir? What he says goes.
Praise God.
Amen? Amen. What he says is going to go. Why? Because that is something that God can bless. God can bless a strong-willed woman getting behind that man and saying, look here, baby, what you want to do? Because, see, I'm with you. I'm here to push you up. Very few messages of mine where I will not compliment my husband. You know why, Holly? Because it's my job to build him up. Amen. Why? Because a lot of times as wives, we want to tear them down. Because they ain't doing it right. Because we got a better way. Because we know more than them. Because we're smarter than them. And we dang sure prettier than them.
Amen.
Amen. But look here. Woman, get behind your man. Help him be a godly man. Verse 4. Every daddy in this place, I don't care if you're dedicating your kid or not. If you haven't, you should. But not until you're ready. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. There's a difference between discipline and just straight up exhausting them. There's a fine line there. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Why is it calling out the daddies? Because daddies, you're the head of the house. Woman, I feel like I can address you like that because I am one. I'm telling you to let him be the daddy. Why? Because that's something that God will bless. Now we're coming to a very sacred part of this service. I'd like some low music. I'd like for Pastor Jeremy to come up here. Why? Because he's the pastor of this church. Every person that's going to dedicate their child today, I'm going to ask you to come up. If you want grandparents to come up, this is your day. See, this is you deciding how you're going to raise these kids. When I was dedicating my children several years ago, I thought, my dad was the pastor, and I said, why are you having all the grandparents come up? That's silly. I got this. Look here. I'm calling my mom-in-law, and I'm like, oh, my God, would you please come down? Come down. When are you coming? If you ain't realized in your parenthood that you need help, let me tell you something. Give it a minute. You're going to figure that out, huh, Gina? It takes a village just to raise one. All right. So everybody that is going to dedicate their children, I need the deacons to go get Chevy and to go get Violet. They're a part of this. Parents, come on up here. Now, if you've sat there and you've decided, you know what, this is something that I need to do. This is not a scripted service. You can come up here. It is something that you need to do, but it's something that is so serious that I'm not going to twist your arm to come up here. That ain't what the ministry's for. Now, who's got an iPhone in this place? Anybody? I want people to take some pictures. See, because this is the day. Heather? Yes. Is your name Heather, too? Oh, my word.
I'm surrounded by Heathers and Kellys. Like, we're going to have a connection somewhere. His name is Kelly.
Oh, my gosh.
And Caleb has a twin sister named Kelly.
Man, that's an awesome name. I want y'all to take pictures, both of you. Where's the other Heather? Where'd she go? I want you to take some good pictures. Now, Pastor Jeremy and I, we want y'all to stand right in front of us. So, Heathers, if y'all want to get behind us, you feel more than welcome. If y'all want grandparents, you let them know. Kayla's saying yes. I hope, and I've done my best to make this perfectly clear, because this is a vow. It's not just a, I think I'm going to do this. This is a vow. Besides your salvation and besides your marriage, this is the most important vow you'll ever make. We all good with that? So that means on the days where we're not feeling like top notch, we're going to be that person. We all agree into that? What's this baby's name? I knew that. I have a terrible memory. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just anoint Aspen right now. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're protecting her every day of her life. God, every day is ordered and established by you, and God, she is protected. God, she lives every single day of her life, God, with purpose. God, every day, she lives out every day. God, she's not taken, but God, she lives out every single day. God, I thank you for Caleb and for Holly. God, I thank you for the anointing that's flowing into them right now. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're helping them be the parents that they need to be. God, you're drawing them closer together. And God, you are perfecting everything that concerns them.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Everything, God, that ain't quite the way that they need it to be, God, I thank you that you're turning it around. And you're making a way, God, where there did not seem like there was one. God, there is one now. And God, today, we give this baby to you, God. We give her back. And we thank you, God, for all the things that you're going to do with her. Violet, we're fixing to anoint you, baby girl. Lord God, in Jesus' name, for Chevy and for Violet, God, I thank you that both of their parents, God, they're both on board. God, they're your children. God, they're giving them back to you. And God, I thank you, God, that you have a purpose. God, you're protecting them. God, you're making them the head and not the tail. God, in everything, Lord, that needs a healing, God, I thank you that the healing is taking place, God, in every single way. God, for Van and Diana, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you, God, for the power of God that's coming over them right now. I speak to anything, God, that you want to remove out of their life. God, I thank you for it. God, I tell you, yes. We call it done. And God, I thank you that on the days where they don't feel strong enough, God, to be the parents that they're saying they're going to be today, that God, you're helping them. God, where they're weak, you're right there and you're making up the difference. Lord God, for Asher and for Archer. God, I thank you that they're mighty men of God, Lord, every day of their life. And God, they live out every day that you have for them. God, I thank you, God, for the protection. God, the anointing. God, I thank you that every day, God, they learn you a little bit more. They love you a little bit more. God, I thank you, God, at a very young age, Lord, you're going to speak to them. God, not only are you going to speak to them, but God, they're going to hear your voice. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do some big things with these little guys. And God, today, Kayla and Mikey, they give them back to you, God. They're understanding, God, that they're raising them, but God, these are your children. And God, we're giving these children back to you today. And if you are a grandparent up here, I want to tell you that your role is extremely important. Your grandchildren need to see you in church. They need to know that grandpap and mama and grandma, they need to know, see, this is what family does. Family worships God together. Now, y'all just done something that took a lot of guts. Why? Because we live in a world that doesn't like to commit to anything. We live in a world where people are promise breakers. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you. Do not be a promise breaker. Don't break your vow that you made today. Because what God wants to do with these kids is He wants to put His hand on them. And He wants to bless them. And He wants to make some things happen with them. It's going to take you. It won't happen without you. Amen. Yes, He does. Yes, He does. Can I pray? What do you want me to pray for? God can do anything. See, is this mama? Don't look at mama. What does Caleb want? You two to be good.
And live in the anointing that God has put on your life.
Amen. Are we? Okay. See, Mama can say something, but see, Caleb's got to have that inside of there. So does Holly. Lord God, in Jesus' name, for Holly and Caleb, Lord God, I speak to this relationship right now, and I'm telling it to be blessed. God, help them. God, help them to understand each other. God, help them to be able to be helpers to each other. God, reveal yourself to them in a way that they have not known you before. God, I thank you that everything, Lord, that isn't your will in their life, God, I thank you that you're taking it out and you're taking it out right now. Whether it's a feeling, whether it's a person, whether it's a place, whatever it is, God, you're removing it. God, I thank you that they walk in your divine purpose and your divine will. God, I thank you that they are mighty men and women of God, Lord, and that you have a purpose. And God, I thank you that purpose, God, you're drawing it out and you're revealing it to them step by step, day by day.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Y'all may... I was hoping, but I wasn't going to say. These two little boys are like brothers. I just love them. Where's Stephanie? Stephanie, I don't want you in the back because you're a front runner on this thing too. Amen. Where's that anointing oil? Well, we need that back. Now, if y'all want prayer, I will pray. That's up to you. If not, you can sit down. All right. Lucas and Noah, this is one of the most important days of your life. Parents, all three of you, it's one of the most important days of your life. Dear Lord God, I thank you right now for Lucas and for Noah. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've preserved their life, God, and you did it for the purpose that you have for both of them, God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that they are mighty men of God, Lord, that they hear your voice in Jesus' name, that they hear your voice, God, starting right now. God, they walk in your purpose, and God, they're going to be raised in your house. They're your children now, and we're all in agreement that that's what we're doing. Amen. Babe, pray over these boys. Writing. Who wants prayer? All of you. Van, you on board with that? Lift your hands because we're going to invite God up into this thing right now. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for what you're trying to do. And right now, Satan, I just rebuke you away from this family right now. And I'm telling you that you have to go. You have no purpose in their life right now. And I'm telling you to go. Everything that should not be in here, you're leaving. Are you two okay with that leaving? See, because it ain't leaving until you say it's going. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you that you're taking it out right now. God, you're helping a family. God, and you're drawing them closer to you. God, you're going to restore, and God, you're going to heal. And we call it done. Right now, in Jesus' name. I'd like for the rest of God's children to stand to your feet, because we're going to say a blessing, and then y'all can go and have lunch or do whatever it is that you think that you want to do. Now, if you're receiving something from God today, lift your hands because, see, God's going to fill hands. God will fill your life. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just speak victory. I speak healing. I speak prosperity. I speak your divine purpose and your divine will up in these people's lives right now. God, and I thank you for the perfection of every problem up in this place right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that you know what you're doing. And God, you've already put it into motion. And people of God and children of God, I'm telling you to walk out of here. And I'm telling you to walk out of here blessed. I'm telling you to walk out of here whole, and I'm telling you to walk out of here fulfilled and changed in Jesus' name. Amen.